Welcome to the Wally Show After Castle, the stuff we didn't get to during the course of the show today. Hopefully everybody had a good Easter. We were off on Easter, but now we are back. I did not get to go to Easter service this year. I was kind of bummed about that. It felt weird not being at Easter service because they offer them on Saturdays and then Sundays. And
I have a friend of mine, her and her sister go to the same church you do. And they went on Saturday because at that church, which I've gone to before, I think they tell you they're regulars. They're like, please come on Saturday so that all the visitors can come on Sunday and it's not as packed. But anyways, they went on Saturday and they said that the whole service was about the prodigal son, which was kind of odd because
weird.
They thought it was going to be about like Easter and it wasn't.
That's interesting because I had a lady that had emailed me over the weekend going, hey, I heard you talking about something on the show being... wondering if people were going to think it was controversial or not. You know, I forget what it was, but, you know, and just being honest about something in my faith. Oh, about prayer. But she's like, and so I'm curious what you think about this. Like, the pastors that do preaching on Easter, and it's so gruesome and it's so violent. She's like, I just really don't even look forward to it anymore. And I don't know why they feel the need to do that instead of focusing on the love. And so I said, yeah, I understand that. But she would have been great at my church, I guess, with the prodigal son.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think with the thing about the gruesome, horrific nature of the cross, I think we've become so desensitized to violence that I think pastors trying to explain the level at which somebody loved people that they shouldn't have to have died for, but they did, tries to drive it home. It's kind of like when we go on compassion trips, you know, you could show all the poverty, you know, the really bad, horrible. But then for me, it's like we want to show the hope, but you have to show enough of the bad to juxtapose that to show the good. Like, without, you know, the concept of darkness, there is no light kind of thing. And so maybe it's that way. And maybe some pastors lean so far on the side of the gruesomeness of it to drive that point home. But I mean, ultimately, it is love. I mean, talk about love that hung, that kept Jesus on the cross, you know, when he didn't want to do this and he could have called it off any time, but he didn't. And so maybe, focusing more on the love in addition to the gruesomeness would be good for some people. But
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, though, how was the Easter that you did have?
Very
update everyone.
Very non-Eastery. Like, so we went to Atlanta because my. Wife's brother passed away. And so we went there to help his wife get situated and get things taken care of that she needed done, you know, at the house and cars sold and things like that. And so that's what we were trying to do. And he has triplets and they're 20 now. And so we got to see all of them and I wanted to check in with each of them and see how they were doing, you know, kind of thing. And so we were doing so much stuff that we were going to go to one of the churches up there on Saturday, but then it just got away and we're trying to help with things. And we only had limited time. So we didn't go to that. And then my wife and I were like, oh, we'll watch online. But then we were driving home and didn't get a chance to watch online and stuff. And it was just kind of like, I missed all of Easter. And I think they did too. Like they had little Easter baskets for the kids still, cause that's what their custom and tradition. And we always did that too when Haley was at the house. It didn't feel like Easter, at all.
Yeah.
So I kind of missed it actually, you know?
Well, not to make mine look so much
better.
How
was yours?
So I loved that we had Friday off. I was able to catch up with a friend of mine and we went out for tacos and just walked around.
Ooh, Easter tacos. That's great.
It wasn't on Easter, but it was Good Friday tacos.
Good Friday tacos. They're great.
Saturday, went out to eat with a friend of mine and then played games later that day, which was so much fun. And then Sunday, I had to help with the kids in the back and it wasn't the babies. It was the bigger kids.
Oh.
Okay? And we had like a blow up castle thing that they could bounce on.
Nice.
Then we had an egg hunt, an egg relay, just trying to get them, you know, having a good time. And then you have visitors and all this stuff. My throat was so hoarse at the end. I was over it. Then I went over to my mom and dad's after that to visit with them and eat some Easter ham.
Nice. Good home cooking from mom.
Yeah, and then
it's
was my day.
The best.
That was my weekend.
It's funny because I saw I have a news story about Easter that got some people all riled up. But like where I live, there was a car wash and there's there's a couple businesses that are owned. There's a lady that owns two McDonald's where we live, and she always has an artist come and paint.
She does, and it's awesome.
He is risen, and like the tomb and everything like that. And there's a car wash that did that too. And so I'm wondering, did they just ask for this person's name and they did it too because they believe in it? Or does the same lady own the car wash? I don't know. But it was funny. There's this car wash there, it has like the Easter story there, and he is risen. And I thought, how much better would it have been though, is if you pull into the car wash because you go into that round tube, if they had a fake giant stone there and rolled it away and you drove into it? Because they do classic haunted car washes.
Why can't they do an Easter
Why not do one?
One
with just all this bright light just blinds
yes.
you?
Angels then, at the end.
And then you come out of the other side clean. Like it makes
Love
so
it.
Much sense.
Man, missed opportunity.
It truly, truly is. Okay. So,
also, Wally's sick.
Yeah, I've been fighting that. So,
and I don't want to. I don't want to.
I'm staying away from you.
No, but I do. My throat feels a little funny.
Oh, of course it does.
Yeah. Don't say that, because last time I said that, and you were like, "You're not getting."
You had COVID.
And I had COVID.
I know. Well, maybe you have COVID again. I don't know. No, I've stayed away from you.
Except he tried to make me breakfast and then got mad at me when I didn't even ask for his help.
I know. I tried
Here's
to make
the
her
thing.
Breakfast.
I think what I'm learning is with Enneagram 2s, they want to help so bad that even if you don't ask for the help and they give you the help, they still want to thank you.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like a human.
But I didn't ask for it.
I know, but I was just trying to be nice and like I was trying to give you things. And I thought I had done enough because like, okay, I had English muffins. And so I said, okay. And I know your proclivity towards the germs and things like that.
Yeah, because I'm watching you for 5 hours
I understand
over there
that.
Coughing in your hand.
And I
stuff.
Understand
I
that.
I don't want that.
I understand that. Okay. So I have the English muffin bag. So in my head, I'm doing the nice thing by letting you reach into the English muffin bag before me so that I don't have my hands in there. And then you're like, you would have been like, oh. So I'm like, in my head, I think I've done it right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, reach into the bag, get your English muffin. And I'm like, here's a plate for you. And you're like, you've already touched the plate. I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot win.
No, see.
I touched the edge of the plate.
You can't. Here it is.
Yeah.
You're putting expectations on people that you haven't verbalized. And you
sure.
can't get mad at the people that you don't.
Okay, what? Why?
The expectation yeah. was you need to be thankful for what I did for you that you didn't even ask.
Right.
And it was done wrong as well.
And it was not done wrong. that's the problem. It was
that's
not done
so
to your crazy...
Hyperallergenic. Wait, what's the difference
hazmat
between touching?
Suit.
No, what's the difference between touching the biscuit compared to touching the plate? It's the same thing.
I touched the edge of the plate, though. Like it was.
But
like,
I could have touched the edge of the plate.
But you saw
and then
where my hand
had,
was.
Where, but how, what am I going to do? Have a marker?
Yes, and we'll
where
mark it out.
Was?
Yeah, we'll mark out where my
That's
hand touched.
So stupid.
That's like this. You're right. That is so stupid.
I'd rather just throw it away.
I know.
Start this, over.
There are times I just feel I cannot win.
You know, from my, no, okay, instead of
no
you feeling
do,
that way, why
yes.
don't you tell me what the expectation is? What is it that you want me to give you?
Okay.
What's the
because
response
I know,
you need?
Here's the deal.
Even though I didn't ask for
I
it,
know that
tell
we,
me
we
what
have
it is.
Differences of germ phobia.
Yes.
Like we definitely have, and I've tried, honestly tried, to be aware of that and curtail
it. I appreciate
that. Like
it
if
so
I,
much.
The other day I was making the biscuits that you brought in.
You washed your
I washed
hands.
My hands before I did
yes.
the biscuits. And because I know that's a thing for you.
Yes.
So when I'm trying and trying to make it nice for you and do it right.
Yeah.
That's in my head, I was thinking that you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so nice of you to let me reach into the basket first versus you already touched the plate, idiot.
I didn't say
Yeah, that's exactly
that.
What you said.
No, I did not.
Selfish moron.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, I said thank you, but then you got mad at me because I wasn't thankful for the way that it doesn't make sense. You have to put the X, there's no X. I'm frustrated.
I know. It's so hard for me, too.
Well, glad we can both be frustrated.
Yeah. Well, that's what marriage is. Honestly, you've just, welcome to it. You've just understood marriage.
I want out. I want a divorce.
Welcome to it. As long as neither person gets what they truly want, that's marriage compromise. You're doing great. Oh, speaking of people not getting what they want, this was really interesting. Caitlyn Jenner and Marjorie Taylor Greene both got upset at President Biden when he recognized the International Transgender Day on Easter. Okay.
Which I'm kind of surprised by that they would be angry about it because they are transgender.
Well, not Elizabeth, not Marjorie Taylor Greene, but Caitlyn Jenner is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. It's funny they were both on the same side. But like, it was funny what Caitlyn Jenner said. You know, I was like, hey, this is supposed to all be about Jesus. It was interesting that that was his, her take, you know, like, I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, that's good. But I know a lot of people started sending this around and going nuts about it, and it became a very political tool. But now that's not to say that it isn't being used on both sides, because this, when you dig into it, it looked like he had made this announcement, this decree, all of this stuff, that it came from him and it was on Easter to jab believers and show that this is more important than Christ. But that's not what actually happened. Okay, so here's the deal. Oh, by the way, here was Caitlyn Jenner's quote, though. I'm absolutely disgusted that Joe Biden has declared the most holy of holy days, a self-proclaimed devout Catholic, as Transgender Day of Visibility. There is no length to the Biden and the Democrats won't go to mock your faith. That was from Marjorie Taylor Greene. But here's the thing, and I'm not defending Biden by any stretch of the imagination. Transgender Day of Visibility was established in 2009, and it was in 2021, I think, that Biden kind of officially recognized it, but it always happens on this day, but this day has never been Easter before, so this day it fell on Easter. But what happens in the news cycle is everybody will take an old quote or something like that and they put it as if this is being said today. Yeah. Now the Biden administration did release a quote, you know, about, but it wasn't like, I don't think it was the news clip that's going around from a year ago or whatever, how many years ago it was, but it definitely was a bad optics for believers, you know, like that you would put this day, equate it to this instead of talking about Easter and the religious holiday. It shows where your loyalties lie.
Right.
But so it's not as egregious as one side makes it seem. Again, this is where it's hard to trust anybody. You have to have balance in these things. But what I will say is that the election this year, I've heard people say that the LGBTQ community is going to decide the election, and the people that are sympathetic towards that is what's going to decide the election. And I think that this is an example of that. Like, timing is everything, you know? And I think that them being able to highlight this day again, and it shows you're seen, you're heard, you're loved, you're valued, and it's just entrenching those votes for them as you come up to the election cycle, which I think is sad. But the thing I keep coming back to, though, as I really thought about this and sat with it and just kind of like was like, okay, well, LGBTQ, great. Like, what can I do that you can't? I'm just curious. Tell me, what is it that I can do that you can't do? You can get married now. You can have health insurance. You can get jobs. You can get houses. There's nothing that I can do that you can't do. You are not oppressed. You know, you get misgendered because it's hard as heck to figure out what some people are. But that's not a crime. You know, like that's not an issue.
I think their main thing is that you don't get judgment immediately before you're even known. Now, that could be wrong. That could be right. I don't know. But the thing is, I mean, well, I don't know what the thing is.
What is the thing?
I don't know.
Well, see, the thing about this is like, to me, I want people to be even and equal, okay? Mm-hmm. And what's happening is you're taking this whole community of people that you can do all that, you have all the same rights I have, but now you're making everything about you. And everything has to be you and inclusive you. And you have to be shoving your agenda into every part of everybody else's world. So now you've thereby made yourself better than or higher than or more important than everybody else, because it's your life that now has to be validated. You don't need people to validate your life. You want to live this life, you live that life. Knock yourself out. I'm going to live my life. Knock myself out.
And if you're constantly looking to people to validate you, you're constantly going to be disappointed.
But this is the thing too, because this is the thing that can't be said in certain circles, is that you're never going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
When something is broken in you, and again, you can't say broken in them because you're like, this is how I am.
But we're all broken.
Well, yeah, but there is something wrong. If you're a boy that wants to be a girl, there's something that is miswired in you. Again, you can't say that. Yeah, I can say it here, but in public circles, I'm now transphobic, you know, but the reality is there's something broken there. Okay. And then we've made everything so complicated that we can't even decide gender anymore. The most basic thing of everything, we've complicated and muddied it with our own thoughts and what we want to have happen. And so, like, it's no wonder we can't solve anything, because we can't even agree on that nonsense. But like, they've made everything about them And they're not going to be satisfied with anything you give them or happy with anything because they're not satisfied in themselves. There's an inner turmoil. And to tell them that, you are transphobic. But if somebody's quietly honest with themselves, they're going to find that same thing. But again, those are conversations that people in the public forum are too afraid to have because, you know, you can't because you're going to find yourself on the business end of a hissy fit. And that's what you don't want. But everybody, again, I just keep coming back to you've elevated yourselves to this victim mentality and that everything has to be catered to you. And you have then made yourself more important than everybody else. And that's my problem. Everybody should have the same rights and same, you know, opportunities in this world, whether you're LGBTQ, whether you're a different race, what it doesn't matter. You know, everybody should have an even playing field, and you are elevating yourself above that playing field, you know. So anyway, that was just kind of the take on that, but just a little bit of the story. If you see it floating around, at least do a little bit of the homework and find out, you know, that there is a little bit more to the story. Because I don't like when people go off, even when it's a position that supports what I believe, when it's not accurate. You know, like when somebody goes, well, this is what they did and it's horrible and he's the worst ever. It's like you got to be accurate in why you come against somebody or else it waters down the next time you do kind of thing. So anyway, there's that. This is great. This was an email I got. I knew, Rock, you were going to hose me. I knew it. The Hayden stuff. I'm a longtime listener. This is from Danielle, a listener from Dallas, Fort Worth. I used to like to listen to your morning shows. I've heard you guys talk on your podcast, and I thought I would check it out, thinking I would like it. I did not. I heard of your son, Hayden, and how much you hate him as a father.
Yes.
You should care for him and look out for him. Hayden is a child of God.
He is.
You don't, that doesn't deserve to be suffering. And it goes on. I should listen to K-Love. I should do all this other stuff. And
and honestly, preach on it, girl.
And it's a long email. Ooh. By that point. I'm like, this cannot be real. The potty, like we've said so many times, it's hypothetical Hayden, and it's just a joke about how much I love my daughter and how raising boys and girls would be totally different. And then finally, it was from Elijah the Great. But he did it under a woman's email, which was really smart to throw me off. But he was like, hey, it's just a joke. It's Elijah the Great. I thought it would be a funny April Fool's joke for you. Ooh. Well, Elijah, you got me. My blood was boiling by about the fifth sentence in. So thank you, good sir.
Oh, goodness.
Lady
good
Rock,
times.
What do you got?
Well, I found a list of what some would consider the worst songs of the 90s, but I would beg for them to reconsider.
Oh,
I think Wally will be with me. I pulled six of my favorites, and all six, I'm not going to say they're bangers, but I will say at least half of them are pretty dang good.
Okay, so 50%, all right.
Okay, so the first one has to be Mambo Number 5.
Oh, yeah.
It's so catchy.
Yeah, it is.
And you're like, a little bit of Monica.
In my life, yeah.
Love it.
I don't know the whole song, though, from that version, because when this came out, I was working at Radio Disney, and we had a clean version of it, because it was like, headed to the liquor store around the corner.
Oh, does he say that?
Oh, yeah. Girls say, well, but I really don't want it. It's like not a clean song.
Oh. But you played on Radio Disney.
Well, yeah, they had it redone. Lou Bega redid the song so that we would play it, because he'd get more spins, but it was like, headed to the candy store around the corner. It was like, oh, yeah. It's like basically a parody song. But I used to love this song because my daughter was 3 and she would sit in her car seat and I'd go, ladies and gentlemen, Mambo Number 5. And she would put her finger up in the air and I'd go, don't. And her little finger would be moving. And it melted my heart.
So
I loved
cute.
It. So yeah, I did like that song.
Yeah. Another one, this one might be pretty bad. Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart.
No.
Don't tell my heart, my achy breaking heart. Just don't think you'd understand.
This is a horrible song.
It's so bad, but he was a one-hit wonder, and this took him to the top, which is crazy.
I mean, he made his whole career out of that song, and then he tried to get I Want My Mullet Back, and that was horrible.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Like, I can't even think of another good song he did.
There was another one, but it wasn't his song. He was in a music video with Dolly Parton, and I think the song was called something like Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That?
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to be him being the hot guy that comes in.
Nice.
And he's got the mullet.
Nice.
He's got the fringe. Like all this stuff. And she's saying, why'd you come in here looking like that? with the cowboy boots and something. I don't know, hat, probably.
Yeah, maybe cowboy hat, yeah.
Anyways, yeah. But then his daughter took him even further, or maybe she was able to go further because of Achy Breaky.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing TikToks of her doing, like, classic rock songs and actually kind of not doing them badly.
I am not a fan.
I'm not either, but she's got that low, gravelly voice, and so she's been doing some rock stuff, and I kind of I kind of like that. No.
Another good one. Well, no. I don't know. Might be worse.
All right, so you said 50%. So right now we just wrote off a song, number two, which was Achy Breaky Hot. This one's got to go, too.
Who let the dogs out? It was so overplayed.
Yes, it's horrible.
I mean, we heard it over and over. Like, I don't know who let them out, but just let it go.
I don't care who let them out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that
I would
was,
say that one was pretty rough.
That's a horrible song. Okay,
now
so
this one,
now you only have one more left to go on your 50% of these were good and 50% were bad. You only have one more to go.
Okay, I have this next
was bad.
One. Okay, this next one kills it. It's the best one of the best. Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Higher.
Can you take me higher?
Absolutely.
Yes.
This
still
is
hits.
When
it
Creed was at their finest.
Man, that was their first hit, I think. And I remember having the album.
Yeah.
And my mom would be driving me to youth group on Wednesday nights. And I'd be sitting there going, can you take me higher?
That's so great. I liked Creed, and Creed became a punchline, unfortunately, because Scott Stapp lost his mind for a little bit. He's a believer, and he lost his mind. He was like a drinker and stuff, and had a couple things go south on him, like in some interviews and some shows, and he got super arrogant, I guess, ran to his head, people say. I knew people around him, like I hung out with their drummer one time and stuff, and then... Like, he hit me up years ago to play, like, he sent me new music he was working on.
He didn't catch that. Creed hit Wally up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scott Stapp hit me up because he listened to the show in West Palm. He lived in West Palm, which I thought was really cool. So I had kind of interactions with him. I always felt bad for him that he got stereotyped and got, kind of became the poster boy for lame 90s rock. And I don't think that was fair.
I think Nickelback did that.
Well, Nickelback... Yeah, they own that position more so. But Creed, Fred Durst, and Limp Bizkit, and Nickelback, those were the three biggest ones that kind of ended up in that lame category, unfortunately.
All right, we've got two more songs.
Okay, so
this one I think is still, it's great. Macarena.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I would go to the roller rink, and they would play this, and you try and do the Macarena while you're roller skating. Macarena. So good.
I'll tell you, this is the one that I look forward to anytime I'm at a wedding. I have three weddings to go to this year, so I will be very happy when this one comes up, because I know what to do. It's very easy. My wife always wants to, let's go on the dance floor. I'm like, I hate this so much. And then it's like Macarena. I'm like, come on, let's go. This is it. And then you better follow it up with two stomps now.
One time now.
You got to play those back to back because you'll keep white people on the floor longer
that
way. Because it's just telling us what to do.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have songs that tell us what to do at a wedding, we'll
be
fine.
And then finally, this one was overplayed. Hanson with Mbop.
Oh, yeah. I love watching them as adult men play this song still.
And I think Taylor, the guy that's singing, he's got maybe like 7 or 8 or 9 kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're just everywhere.
It's funny to see, like, I've seen like acoustic versions of this, and you still, to this day, what in the world are you singing? I have no idea.
I don't know if they know.
I don't think so either. I think they just made stuff up.
Of course, that was just 6 of the 20. So.
And so you said 50% of those were actually bad.
I would say Mambo number 5 still hits.
Yeah.
I would say
Macarena,
Creed for
Creed,
sure, and Macarena.
Yeah.
But the overplayed, Achy Breaky, the Who Let the Dogs Out, and
So you were right, 50%. You hit it right on the money, and I agree with your 50%
Great.
Assessment.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Do you got any birthdays?
I don't, but I do have a question.
Let's go.
Catherine has a question. She said, do you put your carts back after shopping?
Yes, absolutely.
And if you find a stray cart, do you put it where it belongs?
Sometimes. Depends.
Why does it depend?
Sometimes I'll just judge the person instead. But no, like if it's like out of the way, I'll usually leave it. But if it's in a parking space where someone can't park, I always move it. Yes, absolutely.
What if it's raining?
Even then, yeah. It drives me nuts when people don't put their carts back. I mean, there's a cart bin. Just run it over there. It doesn't take that long.
Oh, I know.
That drives me absolutely berserk.
When I go to, there's this one store that I go to, and I'll park on the side of the building because I feel, I could be wrong, but I feel like I can get closer. Anyway, there, what's bad about parking on the side is if you have a cart, there's not a ramp to slowly go down and go off the sidewalk to get to the parking lot. You just have to maneuver and get down.
Got it.
There are so many people that will park on the side, get a cart, and then not put it back. When there is a what do you call it, a Wrangler? What do you call it where you put the buggy?
Oh.
You just said it.
I did?
Yeah, where you put the buggy in the parking lot? What do you call that?
I don't even know now.
You said it earlier. Okay, sure. A buggy holder. So anyways, they will park their buggy like on the sidewalk where it's blocking everybody on the sidewalk. When you could have just maneuvered it down on, I mean, it's just a tiny 1-inch drop-off. Mm-hmm. You could have maneuvered it over that and then put it in the little Wrangler thing. And then you're done.
Yep.
So I do judge those people. Now, we've had people that I think have called in, or maybe they commented on our Facebook chats when we have these topics up. But I remember some woman saying once that she had a toddler and they were just having a meltdown and she just could not get that baby in their car seat and it was raining or whatever. And she just needed to get in the car and just go. Mm-hmm. And she left her buggy out in the middle of everything. And she said ever since then, she doesn't judge when she sees a buggy that's out.
Oh, interesting. I don't remember that. I would have just left the buggy with the kid in it, in the Wrangler. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Two birds with one stone is what's happened there. You have a nice peaceful drive home. Kid learns a lesson. Buggy's put up. Three birds with one stone is what just happened there. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I definitely, my wife is big on it too. Like, and like at Costco, they have a big corral for buggies. But they're kind of spread out sometimes. Like, Costco's crazy. Parking at Costco anymore where we go is just insane.
A nightmare.
It's basically become the Chick-fil-A drive-through line.
I'll tell you what's also a nightmare is Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Nightmare.
They always have really tiny parking lots, too.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So, like, I will still, my wife will usually, like, she'll run the cart back if I finish unloading and loading things in, and that by the time she gets back, we're ready to go. But even if I'm flying solo, I always put the cart back. Because I just think it's, some people go, well, then you're taking away a job from somebody. Trust me, that job from somebody, they've still got to bring them back out of the cart bin, you know, and it's like, so. But you can help them out, make their job a little better by putting the dumb cart where they can get them, and then it's not in the way of everybody else. It's a no-brainer to me. Okay, here's the big question, though. You're shopping, you've picked up ketchup, and you realize, oh, I got ketchup at home. You're 14 aisles away, and you've got the ketchup. Do you just put it in with the bread or whatever's in that aisle?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's a bigger one.
That's a tough call.
It seems like a victimless crime, but it is not.
And then you justify it by saying, well, I'm giving them something to do.
Yeah, but they already have enough to do. Do you put it on the shelf or do you take it back?
I will admit I've been in both scenarios, okay? I've been in scenarios where that's happened, and I walk all the way back. But I've also been in scenarios where I'm like, I'm not walking all the way back.
I know. That's the place I see you more in, being like, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. It's not my fault that they didn't realize I wasn't going to need this and that they didn't move the aisle to come meet me.
Stop it.
Yeah, I could see that being more the case for you.
I will tell you this. This happened recently. I was going to get a gift card for a friend of mine that her birthday was recent. And I took the gift card. I bought a card as well for the gift card to be put in. And I put the gift card inside of the card because I was just thinking that's where it's going to end up anyways once I sign the card and give it to her. Anyways, I go through the self-checkout and I scan the card, not even
thinking
remembering
about
the gift card is inside of the actual card. And I check out all my items. I get out and I get to my car. And thank goodness, when I get to my car, I had to immediately go and meet this friend. So I took the card and I was going to sign it. I had a paper and all that. A pen in my car and all that. I open the card and I see the gift card. The buzzer didn't go off or nothing.
Oh, it's not going to, because the gift cards aren't.
Oh, it's not any good unless you.
It's
like,
not any good till you
charge.
You
it.
Could steal 1,000 of them.
Oh, I see.
And it wouldn't do anything until you actually scan it.
And here I was feeling all bad about it. Well, anyways, I walked all the way back and I did the thing where you check out.
Because otherwise you would have just basically given your friend a useless gift card. Yeah.
I see.
So that's what I do. I actually will get gift cards for people, and I'll get the expensive ones that say like $100 or $500, like airline ones, and put them in there and just mail them to them. And then they're like, hey, did you know that that had a problem? I'm like, no, that's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, you might want to call them and check it out.
Like, I don't have the receipt. I don't know what to tell you.
Strange. I swear it activated.
It's the thought that counts, right?
Yeah, exactly. Boy, you're pretty, is it really just about stuff to you?
Now tell me the honest, truthful truth.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, hiccup. Have you never been in another aisle and realized you didn't want that item anymore and you left it?
Oh, I have. Yeah. Yeah. Honest, truthful. I've definitely like been in that
day. Then why are you over there judging me?
Because I think it happens more often for you than not.
That is so judgmental.
It's true, though. It's very true.
You don't know that.
I know how entitled you are.
Entitled?
Yes.
Okay, so here's where it comes back. Yes. He thinks that I just need to thank him for every little good thing he does. But then in the meantime, in the middle of his good deeds, if that's what he wants to call them, that he wants thank yous for, he's dropping all these judgmental comments on me.
I know.
So no, I take my thank you back.
Okay.
Well. And you can judge that all you want.
There you go. Well, that was a surprising end to that. And that's going to do it for your aftercast for
As
today.
As always, thanks for being a potty. Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.